is what it was?
Wait to Israel.
Right. There's an interesting phrase in there that I picked up on, heard it many, many times. But you know, at different times, different things catch your attention. But you said that again. That lost the gold. The golden shields of the temple. The palace. And instead of confessing it to the Lord and entreating God to give back the gold, he ordered shields of brass to be made and given to the soldiers. See, when brass is polished upright from a distance, you can't tell it from gold. You know the churches are like that? They got a lot of brass. No gold. Church has lost the golden shields. And they've been satisfied with the brass shield. Amen? Amen. I was talking to Steve the other day. And it's interesting that the corporation that these churches are under today, the legal term is a corporate shield. What happened to God's shield? Why does a church need a corporate shield to protect it? I never even understand it. You know, a minister of God is responsible, but we're not. Amen? In fact, the Bible teaches us that every single one of us as Christians are responsible for our actions. What's the purpose of a corporate shield? To avoid responsibility. That's the whole purpose of having one. I think people need to start rethinking things. We need to pray that pastors will wake up in this country. That the evangelists will wake up. The prophets and the apostles will get strength and courage and come forth and be what God has ordained them to be.
Amen.
And bring the churches back under God and out of the government.
Amen.
Amen. Now when we sing this song again, when you get to that part, out of the furnace, he is silver for iron. Probably stretch a few years to praise the Lord. Tonight, we're in 1 Corinthians. Now, Monday night we did the armor of God. Tuesday night, we did the underwear, the undergarments of God. And how they worked and operated. Tonight we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because unless you get the other two, you can't really operate in the third. So the first night was armor. AR or AUR?
AR.
MOUR. Second night, garments, undergarments. Tonight, yes. Now, if I was in the military, this would be your uniform. This would be your discipline and training for that uniform. is nuclear weapons. But we're not in the military of the world, we're in the military of God.
Amen.
God has called us all to be soldiers for Him.
Amen.
And women can be just as good a soldier as men. Through the Spirit of God. Amen. Paul starts off now concerning spiritual gifts, brother. I would not have you ignorant. Many people are ignorant of the spiritual gifts. Now, just so some people might understand, ignorant isn't a nasty word, necessarily. Ignorance simply means not to have knowledge of a thing. I'm ignorant of many things. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant of. And somebody that knows those things might say, yeah, you're ignorant of those things. Okay, fine. If I find them worth listening to and finding out about, I'll do it. If not, well, I won't. But I would rather be ignorant than stupid. See, the difference between ignorant and stupid is ignorant is not knowing a thing because it's never been told you. Stupid is not wanting to know a thing because you don't care. Or having the knowledge and not acting on it. Paul says to the Corinthians here, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant, that is, unlearned, without knowledge. I want you to understand spiritual gifts. How many people have ever been in a church where the preacher was asked to pray for somebody? And say it was Sister Mary over here. Sister Mary, she's got cancer, she's dying or something. And Sister Margarita came and put in a request for Sister Mary to be prayed for. The pastor gets the deacons together and they start praying. And Lord, if it be thy will to heal Sister Mary, we would that thou wouldest do it. You ever heard that? Lord, we pray for the family of Sister Mary that they can make it through this rough time. You ever heard that? Anybody ever heard preachers pray that way? You know why they pray that way? Because they're ignorant of spiritual gifts. If they understood spiritual gifts, they'd heal her. They command the unclean spirit to come out of that woman, and she would be healed. Now that's an interesting statement. Somebody said, wait a minute, you said healed, unclean spirit. There's a difference there, but I don't know where it is. You know, you can have a cold. And if you have a cold, drink some orange juice, do your aspirin. Wait it out. Few days you'll be fine. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you have pneumonia? Pneumonia, the symptoms are the same. They start out exactly the same. And if you say, well, I've just got a cold, and you take a few aspirin, drink some orange juice, guess what? One morning you ain't going to wake up to take more orange juice and aspirin. It'll kill you. The symptoms are exactly the same, but the problem's different. When we read in the scriptures, Jesus many times would heal somebody, say, be healed, and they'd be healed. Or in other times, it was very interesting, if you read through, you'll see where at times he'd say, and he cast the unclean spirit out of the man, and he was healed. See, there is natural sickness, and there is demon sickness. There is demonic sickness. Cancer is a demonic sickness. It is not natural. It is created and made and operates through demon power. Now that doesn't mean that the person that has cancer cannot be a Christian. First thing I want to teach you is that Satan's a liar. And a lot of good Christians have died because they were ignorant of spiritual gifts, ignorant of God's Word, ignorant of how things happen. To give you an example, years and years ago, standing in the Winter Park Memorial Hospital waiting to see somebody, there was an elderly woman in the room across the hall, and she was kind of moaning and groaning, didn't look too good. So I walked over and knocked on her door, and she looked up and said, "Yes." I said, "I'm Brother Richard from the United Christian Church in Oviedo. Can I come in and talk to you for a minute?" She said, "Oh, yes." And I said, "You're not looking too good. What's the matter?" "Oh, I've got cancer." "Well, that's pretty serious." "I said, are you a Christian?" She said, "Oh, yes. I'm Pentecostal." And I said, "Good. Glad to hear that. Do you mind if I pray for you?" "Oh, would you?" I said, "Yes." So I said, "Okay," and I started to pray. "You know, Father, I love you, and I know that you're here, and I'm not saying this for my sake, but for this woman's sake, so that she knows and can hear and receive faith. I come against that demon of cancer." And all of a sudden, she got all excited. Wait a minute, what do you mean, demon? I'm sanctified saint. I can't have that." And I said, "Well, where did cancer come from?" "Well, God gave it to me," she said.
"It was Satan."
"Well, we know it was Satan." She said, "God gave it to me." I said, "What on earth did God give you that for?" "To make me humble." I said, "Well, I've got two problems with that. One, if God gave it to you, what are you doing in the hospital? Why aren't you staying at home and enjoying it? You're running from the will of God. You wouldn't be one of those people that would run from a tornado, would you? Just think of poor Elisha out there, never getting the mantle of Elijah, because there's Elijah still running from that tornado. Running from the will of God. God gives you cancer, you're running from it. You go to a doctor and ask the doctor to get rid of what God gave you." I said, "Now, does that really make sense to you? I thought we Christians wanted God's will in our lives." Well, I do. I said, "What do you do in the scripture verse where Jesus said, the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Is God now the thief? God forbid. The thief is Satan." She said, but I just know that this cancer is a thorn in my flesh." I said, "What have you ever done to deserve it where you need a thorn in the flesh?" I said, "Have you been to the third heaven and seen things that cannot be uttered with your mouth?" "No." "Have you raised the dead and cast out devils and performed miracles in the name of Jesus?" "No." "Then what do you need a thorn in the flesh for? You're not even important enough to worry about. You're no threat to Satan." And I began to get through to her, see. She began to realize there was something amiss here. She said, "Well, I don't know what God's will is." I said, "Did not Jesus teach you to pray, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.' When you get to heaven, is God going to give you a double portion of cancer? Well, no, we'll be healthy. All right, then it's His will you be healthy here. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we're supposed to pray? Yes. What is God's will for you in heaven? You want to know what His will for you is here, find out what it is there. When we go to heaven, do we have to chase demons around? I don't think so. When I go to heaven, is my left eye going to fall out, my right leg going to disappear? I don't think so. We Christians think some weird things sometimes. Weird things. So I was witnessing to her, and finally she came around. She started seeing it after, well, of course, I said, well, you know, I don't want to offend you, but if you really believe God gave you that, let me pray accordingly. Father, in the name of Jesus, give her more cancer. Let it go from the top of her head to the sole of her foot. If she wants to be holy, Lord, let the cancer eat holes all through her. She got all upset. She couldn't understand it. What are you doing? I said, you said God gave you the cancer. I'm just praying for Him to give you more. I don't want any more. So I finally was able to show her the word. And I said, now are you ready to get rid of it? She said, yeah, I'll repeat this cancer. And immediately the woman was delivered and healed. She went to her own Pentecostal preacher, prayed for, and not healed. You know, I used to pray for people with cancer, and they would want to die. That got discouraging. It got to the point I wanted to pay people not to come to church. Give me $10 not to come in and take that cancer out of here. You know, I was ignorant. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch this person and heal them. I'm praying. Tell Sister Zola, she did. They come crawling in and go out crawling out. It got to the point I didn't want to see anybody with cancer. I didn't want to hear about it. And I didn't understand. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. So one day, this guy came. He worked for Hubbard Construction Company. And he was my father's boss. He came to church with cancer of the larynx. They were leaving the minister's service that night to go check into the hospital. And the next day he was supposed to have surgery. So he wanted me to pray for him. I preached for the longest services I ever preached. Not that God had much to say, but I just didn't want to go out there and pray for that guy. I must admit, too, I was trying to invent some faith. I had no faith whatsoever that guy would be healed if I prayed for him. If I had any faith at all, it was that he was sure to die. But as it was, the Lord was dealing with me. And they brought him up. And I started to pray, and the Lord said, shut up. The best words I ever heard in my life. This is when I learned that cancer was a spirit. He said, this man didn't need healing. Now, he didn't speak this out audibly, and I didn't answer him audibly. This was in my spirit. And I said, what? What do you mean he doesn't need healing? The guy's got cancer, man. You know, that's not needing healing. You know, it is. And that's when he showed me the difference between a cold and pneumonia. And he said, look, I want to let you discern. And I saw the spirit of cancer. Saw it. And he said, now you command that spirit of cancer to leave. Then he'll be healed. And I rebuked the spirit of cancer, commanded it to leave. And that old spirit of cancer just came off of him. He did a backward flip. I thought he would break his back. Ended up about three chairs back. But when he got up off that floor, he could talk. He could talk normal. Put him in the hospital, he come out of the hospital the next day, the doctors couldn't understand that he was telling you healed. You see, I was ignorant of spiritual gifts. But I praise God that he has taught me not to be ignorant anymore. Now I understand. Now, unfortunately, I've seen people healed, completely, totally healed, and go a period of time in total health to turn in rejection and have it right back on a boat, just like that. And then they'll turn around and say, well, I guess it didn't work. No, it worked fine. You are the one that didn't work. How many times when you read the scriptures does Jesus say, go and sin no more, and something else worse befall you? Amen. So we're going to start tonight, and I don't know if I can finish it tonight, but if I can't finish it tonight, I will finish it tomorrow night. But we are going to start on spiritual gifts, and you need to get some basic understanding. Basic understanding. So Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Who's going to write for me? Charlie, you going to write for me? Write ignorant. Or rather, write ignorance. 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 Now, we know that Charlie has never worked with me before. Because if he had worked with you before, he would not have written a one first. Ignorance. Now, if he does it tomorrow, we'll call it something else. No. Just write what I asked, that's all. Ignorance. Ignorance, we all have in different areas. We come to the Lord, we're ignorant. Before we come to the Lord, we're ignorant. And unfortunately, many of us stay ignorant after we come to the Lord. But it's not God's will that you be ignorant. Ignorance kills people. It kills people. People are shot every year because they don't know how to handle it. I remember when I was just a little kid, I took my daddy's Cadillac down a culvert, drew in a brand new Cadillac. I was ignorant. I thought all I had to do was stand in the seat and turn the steering wheel and get my twin sister to get down on the floor and push that pedal. And I could drive anywhere I wanted to go. And while she was revving the engine, I said, what's this? My dad was not impressed. He was upset with. The funny thing is, he got a brand new Cadillac 2 weeks later, and my mother wrecked it. I think that's when he stopped buying Cadillacs. Anyway, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you are Gentiles, carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. The first thing he sets down to is now, right under ignorance, write idols. Ignorance breeds idols. Idols breed ignorance. No person knowing God, especially no one having seen God, would even consider worshiping an idol. Amen? Only ignorance would have someone worship an idol. And there are many different types of idols. There are wooden idols. There are stone idols. But did you know there are idols of imagination? Idols of imagination. Idols in people. I come out of the Roman Catholic Church, and when the Lord called me out and cleansed me of that stuff, I felt pretty good about myself. So I'm not an idol worshiper anymore. And it was a good 18 years later. A good 18 years later, the Lord came to me and said, "You're an idolater." You can imagine how I felt about that. "What do you mean, Lord, I'm an idolater? I gave up idols years ago." He said, "Really? What do you call it when you care more about what that person thinks of you than what I think of you?" I said, "Fear?" I knew what he was meaning. I just didn't want to go there. I wanted to see if I could find some way out from underneath this rock. And he showed me that when I fear man over God, then my idol is man. What is an idol? An idol is a god. Say it any way you want, it's still a god. And that which you fear is your God. I want to say that again because I want you to hear this. That which you fear is your God. You fear the government? More than God? Then the government is your God. Do you fear what people think of you more than what God thinks of you? Then those people are your God. What was it Jesus said? No man can serve two masters. For he'll love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. You can't love God and people the same way. You cannot serve God and man. When we studied the other day, beware of the leaven of the and the leaven of Herod. Pharisees is a religious leaven, and Herod represented the governmental leaven, right? Well, what do they try to teach you? We're all the brotherhood of man. Huh? Don't they all teach us that? We're all of the brotherhood of man. I'm not of the brotherhood of man. I may have used to been, me like that. Is that a word? Used to been? I may have used to been, but I'm not anymore. Now I'm of the brotherhood of Jesus Christ. That makes me a son of God. My brotherhood is in heaven now. The brotherhood of man is cursed. And all who belong to it are cursed. And if you don't come out of it, you're cursed. Never thought of it that way, did you? This is hard. I know, and some people may listen to this and think, this guy's crazy or a loony bird. But I'm telling you the truth. If you consider mankind your brother, then you are on the wrong side of the fence. Because this world is out to destroy anything that stands for God. Anything that stands for Jesus Christ. I don't care what they call it or how they hide it or do it. I serve my brothers and sisters in Christ for Christ's sake. I don't serve Caesar. I don't serve Pharaoh. And I don't serve his people. I come at them as a warrior with my sword and my shield, with my helmet, my breastplate, my girdle, my sandals, and I bring that to bear on them and I give them a choice. Defect or perish. If they defect from the kingdom of the world and choose Jesus Christ, I welcome them as my brother or my sister and serve them. If not, I'll knock the dust off and go about my way. And won't waste God's time, nor God's finances, nor God's resources on that. Did not Jesus say, watch this, and this is going to make sense in a minute. Did not Jesus say, don't cast your pearls to the swine? For they will trample them in the mud and then turn and rend you. Who is he talking about? What did swine represent? Cursed. Pigs were cursed. They were a cursed thing. What is an unsaved person? Cursed. They're under the curse. I don't care how you call it or how you draw it. They're under the curse. Cursed is cursed. And the only way out of the curse is God's way. Amen. I one time was cursed. At one time I was cursed. Thank God I'm not cursed anymore. I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ and signed the covenant of salvation through his blood and his resurrection for my life. And I belong to him now. So I'm no longer cursed. Amen?
Amen.
And for this reason, I am not going to take the good gifts of God and throw them to the pigs. Not going to do it. Now somebody might say, well, Brother Davy or Brother Richard or hey, you stupid. That doesn't sound like love to me. Well, let me ask you a question. What does it sound like when Jesus was walking along and this Scythian woman or whatever came, Greek woman came? Yeah, thank you. That big fancy word.
Yeah.
She comes up to him and says, my child has a demon. but you cast it out. Now, what did this kind, loving, wonderful Jesus say to her? It's not fit to take the bread from the children's table and feed it to dogs. Now, think of that a minute. Well, wouldn't that blow your mind? We're supposed to use Jesus as our example, right? He's our example. Well, here comes this woman that was not a Jew. He said, my son has a demon. Will you cast it out? He said, I'm not casting that demon out. I'm not taking that which belongs to the children and giving it to you, a dog. Boy, how would that be received today? And you know what she did? She did what very few women or men would do. She said, yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. You know what that means? Yay, Lord. You're right. I'm a dog. I'm not worthy.